wonderful? Won't it be wonderful? Won't it be wonderful when one day when we get to heaven and we will worship the Lord with brothers and sisters from all over the world, from every tribe, language, and nation of people that have given their life to Jesus. And when we get there, it will no longer be white or black or Hispanic or Middle Eastern or whatever. It'll just be the born-again believers in Jesus Christ. Won't that be wonderful one day when we can worship God together as one family in heaven? Over the last few weeks, we have talked about transformation. We started on Easter about how the resurrected Jesus can transform people. And we started with Thomas and how Thomas had kind of his blinders pulled off, and he went from being a doubter to a believer. We talked about Peter going from being a denier to a leader. Then we talked last week about the Apostle Paul from being a murderer to one of the greatest leaders in the Christian church. It's amazing what the resurrected Jesus can do to people. Some of you all in this room today have been changed and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And you know what we're going to do today? We're going to look at one more story before this series concludes about the life transformation, about life transformation from the book of Acts. Turn your Bible, if you would, this morning to the book of Acts chapter 10. You have your sermon notes in front of you, and you'll have it on the screen for you to read along with today. But a wonderful story that involves Peter, but it involves another man. This is after Jesus has died and resurrected and ascended into heaven. The church has been started, and then there is this great awakening of people being saved and people coming to know the Lord and the world being changed right in front of their eyes. The Bible begins in chapter 10. So if you got your Bibles, you want to keep it open because we're going to be all over chapter 10 this morning. All over chapter 10. So don't close it, all right? It begins with verse 1. There was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Right off the bat, if he was a centurion, who did he work for? Roman army. This man is not a Jew. This man is a Roman guard. He is a Roman soldier. But the Bible does say he was a devout man and feared God along with his whole household. He did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people and always prayed to God. So apparently, while serving as a Roman soldier, the Jewish people had an impact on him. And he worshiped the Jewish God. He worshiped the God of the Bible. But yet, he was praying and helping, but yet he wasn't complete. At about 3 p.m, he distinctly saw in a vision an angel of God who came in and said to him, Cornelius, that was this bro's name, Cornelius. Looking intently at him, he became afraid. And you know what? I think if I was praying and an angel popped up and said, Kenny, I'd be scared too. Wouldn't you? You know? That might scare me a little bit too. And he became afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And the angel told him, your prayers and your acts of charity have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who is also named Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, another Simon, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, he called two of his household slaves and a devout soldier who was with one of those who attended him. And after explaining everything to him, he sent them to Joppa to go get Peter. Father, may you bless the word. May you help us today to know that you care about people that aren't like us. Help us today to know that you desire people from every tribe, language, and nation to be saved. Father, give me the power to preach your gospel today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here is this man named Cornelius. He works for the Roman government. He's had to do things that you would never want to do. He's probably had to participate in crucifixions. He's probably had to arrest Jewish people and for taxation problems and things like that. He's not a good guy. But somehow in the process of that, some Jewish folks have come along and he had maybe seen their faith and he had seen what they believed in and it impacted him and it challenged him and something happened in his life where he did no longer worship the Roman gods, but yet he worshiped the God of the Old Testament. He worshiped Yahweh, the living God. And he would help people. He would do charitable acts towards people. He even gave money to the Jewish people. And he prayed. You know what's interesting about this story is that you see a man that is helping people, wanting to believe in the real God, and even praying. But he's still lacking. Many times I ask people, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And they say, yeah, I pray. I pray. Cornelius prayed. Cornelius gave money. Cornelius was serving God, but he was still missing a piece. And the Bible says that an angel appears to Cornelius and says, Cornelius, we've heard your prayers. God's heard your prayers up in heaven. But here's the deal. You got to send for Peter to get the rest of the story. Now, somebody might say, well, Kenny, why couldn't the angel have just told Cornelius about Jesus and the gospel right then and there? Why couldn't the angel said, Cornelius, you're really trying, bro. You're so close, but you've missed the Jesus part of it. Here's what you need to do. Why couldn't the angel had just told Cornelius, are you ready? It's not the angel's job. It's not the angel's jobs to tell people. And by the way, angels have never experienced salvation like we can in Jesus Christ. They don't know what salvation is like. They don't know that. They're not like us to receive Jesus. Whose job is it to tell people? Not angels. It's our job to tell people about the gospel. So he says, go get Peter. And sure enough, they send for Peter. And Peter, remember, he is a devout Jew who walked with Jesus, who experienced the resurrected Jesus, saw him crucified, saw him raised again to life. Peter is now a believer in Jesus. He is preaching Jesus. He's putting his life on the line. He was there when Jesus told him to go into all the nations and to reach them. He was there when Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But something had happened. For whatever reason, 10 years after Pentecost, the gospel had not yet arrived to Gentiles. Help me here. Who are Gentiles? Non-Jewish people. So unless you are an ethnic Jew today, you would be considered Gentile. So I'm not trying to offend anybody, but just look at your neighbor and say, you Gentile today. You know, you Gentile. You Gentile. Well, the gospel had not come to the Gentiles. But Jesus had told the disciples to take the gospel to the Gentiles over and over and over. He had told them that, but it hadn't happened yet. Peter was still warming up to the idea that people that weren't just Jews could be saved. That people that didn't have the Jewish laws could trust in Jesus and be saved. And here's old Peter. He's chilling out on the roof, and we're going to talk about all this. God's preparing him, and Peter has to go to Cornelius and tell Cornelius about Jesus. Cornelius believes. I'm not trying to give you a spoiler alert here, okay? But Cornelius believes in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes upon Cornelius. See, now Peter has seen the Spirit fall on the Jews. He's seen the Spirit fall on the Samaritans, and he's seen the Spirit fall on the Gentiles. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to encounter what they did every time you believe in Jesus. But it was for Peter to know that Jews can be saved, Samaritans can be saved, and guess what? Gentiles can be saved. But yet somehow, some way, they had thought that the Romans couldn't be saved, even after Jesus, 10 years later. There's no way those dudes can be saved. It's impossible. Let me ask you a question. Do we falsely believe that there are some groups out there today that can't be saved? Now, there's a Sunday school answer, right? Oh, Kenny, absolutely. God's powerful message can break through boundaries, and people of every tribe, language, nation, and tongue can be saved. And then there's the real life answer. Boy, they're too heathen. They ain't never going to accept. Amen? They're too heathen. They ain't never going to believe. They're too pagan. They are too steeped in their dark religions. They're too steeped in their violence. They're in difficult areas, hard to reach places. Or we believe, even if they do hear, you could tell them till they're blue in the face. But guess what? They ain't going to listen. And we've talked ourselves into believing that. We've talked ourselves into believing that there are some groups of people that will never give their life to Jesus. Some groups of people that will never be saved. And you know what? That's what they would have thought about Roman soldiers. I mean, the soldiers were the ones that crucified Jesus. And they do this on a regular basis. Roman soldiers crucify people all the time. No way a Roman soldier could be saved. No way those dogs that worship all these false religions and practice orgies and practice all of this crazy stuff, they can't be saved. But yet the gospel comes to the Gentiles. And the gospel comes to people that need Jesus Christ. But yet here are the Jews. Here's Peter hanging out. He's close. There's more to the story we can't get into, but he's toying with the idea that Gentiles can be saved. God's speaking to him, but it's been 10 years since they received the Great Commission. 10 years since Pentecost. And isn't it crazy that a Gentile has to call for the church to go to them? Is something wrong with that picture? That a Gentile has to call for the church to go to them? That's exactly what happened with Cornelius. Peter should have been at Cornelius' house like 10 years ago. Amen? Should have been. But he's struggling. Hey, I can relate with Peter because 10 years after Pentecost, he's still struggling. I got saved when I was 7. I'm still struggling. Anybody else? I can relate to Peter. I still struggle. And here's what I see is that the American church, oh, I love you, but it might hit hard today, all right? Hang in there. The American church is as guilty of this crime as much as they were before they took the gospel to the Gentiles. We have come to believe that the foreign nations are of no concern to us. We have come to believe that people of different ethnicities, of different homelands, of different countries are of no concern to us. Sadly, I've seen many Christians that would say, Kenny, we've got enough problems here in the United States. Why should we care about people overseas? I've seen God-fearing people say that. Love Jesus. Why should we care about people in Honduras or Haiti or South Africa or Russia or South America, Brazil? Why should we care about those people? They're not us. Well, listen, I hear you. America is in no shortage of spiritual revival and great awakening. Amen on that. I mean, we're in no shortage of that. But the only problem is this. Here's the problem with thinking that way. It goes against what Jesus taught. See, that's the problem with saying, let's not worry about the other nations. Let's not care about them. The only problem is you are directly disobeying the heart of Jesus. Well, can you? No way. Hey, let me remind you of what we call the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the what? The world, all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Wait a second. Does Jesus really want us to go into all the nations? Yes, He does. To disagree with that statement is to disagree with the final words of Jesus Christ. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. By the way, I was telling somebody out in the hall this today, the church in China is growing like a weed. Did you know that? Under intense communist persecution, the church in China is growing like a weed. I mean, they're seeing people get saved like crazy. There are people in Islamic-controlled countries that are giving their lives to Jesus, that are being saved like wildfire. Let me tell you something. It's possible that the church in China right now is stronger and healthier than the church in the United States is. I lost about half of you on that one. Amen. I lost about half of you. But God's doing a great work. And what we must understand is that John 3:16 is still John 3:16. Amen. What does the Bible say? For God, say it with me, for God so loved. Whoa. Stop. For God so loved. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. He just loved the Jews and Americans. Amen? We got no problem with loving the Jews. We got no problem with loving the Americans. But oh my gosh, the Turks. No way. No way. But yet the Bible is still the Bible. Amen? For God so loved the world that whosoever believes. No, King, not whosoever. Not whosoever, not those people, but the Bible is still the Bible, amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to see what the world looks like right now. Throw the first stat up there. There are 7.2 billion people in this world. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a lot. That's a lot. Can I tell you something? That is 7.2 billion people that Jesus Christ loves. Amen? 7.2 billion people that Jesus shed his blood for in this generation. But now here's what blows my mind. Are you ready? Next slide. There are 3,264 unreached and unengaged people groups in the world. Now what does that mean? Unreached and unengaged means this. These are groups of people, not 3,000 people that have not heard. 3,264 groupings of people that have never heard the name of Jesus. Now stop right there. Did you catch that? They've never heard the name of Jesus. Now, I don't think that's sinking in on you. Because you had the church bus come by pick you up for Bible school when you were like 2 days old. Amen? You know? That's Kentucky. We got Jesus everywhere. But I'm telling you, according to stats from the International Mission Board, there are 3,264 groupings of people on this earth right now in jungles, in countries, in villages that don't even know who Jesus is. You say Jesus and they have no clue what you're talking about. You say Bible, they don't know. I mean, groupings of people that have lived for generations dying and going to hell. Well, Kenny, surely God doesn't hold them accountable. And I might get a little controversial today, but I believe the Word. And when I believe what Jesus said. Unless a man is what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other name under heaven for which men may be saved except in the name of Jesus. Kenny, do you really believe people have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven? Yes. Yes. Do they really have to trust in Jesus to be saved? Yes. Yes. By the way, I'm not the one who said it. If you got a problem with that, you need to take it up with John, the apostle. John 3:3, John 14:6. That is the Word of God. Now hear me on this. Jesus wants to change the world. He wants people to be saved. The Bible is clear that he wishes no man to perish. I believe that, don't you, today? God takes no delight in the death of the wicked. The Bible teaches us that Jesus wants everybody to be saved, but they cannot be saved unless they hear the Word of God. They cannot be saved unless they trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, one of our little slogans at our church, we want to be a connecting, caring, and changing church. I've actually entitled this sermon, Change the World. The way that we change the world, are you ready? Is through mission work. It's always been through mission work. It's been through going out and telling people the transformation message of Jesus Christ. That Jesus saves. That Jesus is the way. That Jesus is the truth and the life. Now listen, we today want to change the world. We can't do it without Jesus. Let's go through this quick today. Let's go through this quick. This is how we change the world, by letting Jesus use us. Let's do this quickly today, okay? All right, first I want you to see this, that the Savior is seeking sinners. The Savior is seeking sinners. You look at verse 2 of what we read. He was a devout man and he was praying and he was doing alms and things like that, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. His charitable deeds and his prayers were not enough. He had to have a life transformation in Jesus Christ. The angel shows up, and the angel says, you need to call Peter. And he does. He calls for Peter. Understand this, that there are people all over the world today that are sincerely seeking the truth. All over the world. But they cannot hear the truth unless what? Somebody goes to them and tells them the truth. They sincerely believe in what they believe in, but hear me, they sincerely believe in something that's wrong. Now, husbands, I'm going to ask your wife something. Has your husband ever believed that he was sincerely right when he was sincerely wrong? All right. And now the husbands are giving death stares to everybody. Amen. Can you believe something sincere and be sincerely wrong? Yes, you can. People all over the world are sincerely believing in other gods, thinking that they're the way, when Jesus said, I'm the way. And understand that the Lord is seeking people. The Lord is stirring up these hearts. The Lord is putting this desire inside of them. The Lord is preparing them. The Lord is stirring them. Why? So we can go. Question is, do you agree with God? Jesus said himself, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So question, are you on his agenda? Are you seeking what he's seeking? And that's people that don't know him. Next, I want you to see this, that the Savior is sending missionaries to the sinners. The Savior is sending missionaries to the sinners. When you go down in chapter 10, while Peter was thinking about the vision, by the way, let me tell you about the vision. He was up on this roof and God lowered this curtain down. There's all these animals inside of it, like everything, snakes, birds, pigs. And the voice tells Peter to get up and eat. As a good Jew, he would have never, ever ate some of the stuff in that sheet that was hanging down. And I just believe that when Peter got in that vision, there was a big old pig looking at him right in the face. Don't you think so? And God's saying, Peter, get up and eat some moonlight, some old hickory, you know? He says, Lord, I can't do that. I've never touched anything unclean. And the Lord said from the voice, don't you dare call something unclean that I've called clean. Well, the vision was not really about food, though all food was declared clean then. So go to moonlight without sin this morning. Amen. As long as you're not a glutton. Amen. Okay. Eat all the pork you want and catfish in the name of Jesus. Okay. But here's the deal. Don't be a glutton. Here's the deal. The vision wasn't really about food as much as it was about Gentiles coming to know him, that there were other people. And sure enough, he sees that vision. Look what happens. The Spirit told him to go downstairs. The three men are looking for you. Accompany them with no doubts at all. Because I said, the Jews never would have hung out with Gentiles. But now here's the Spirit telling them to go meet these men and go to a Gentile's house. Is this a big deal, yes or no? Big, big deal. Big, big deal. Today, God is doing the same thing. He's preparing people in our congregation. He's preparing people all across that have access to the Word of God, access to churches, access, most importantly, they know Jesus. And he's stirring in their hearts to be, you ready? This is so old-fashioned, isn't it? He's calling them to be missionaries. He's calling them to be missionaries. Kenny, God doesn't call people to be missionaries anymore. Yeah, he does if you listen. God can never use me as a missionary. Sure he can if you listen. Not everybody's called to be a missionary. God called me to plant a church in Owensboro, Kentucky. But I'm going to do my part to support missionaries. Amen. Maybe the Lord's not called you to be a missionary, but you know what? I guarantee you he's called you to support missionaries. Amen. He's called you to support them. He's called you to give to them. Hey, this New York City team, how many of y'all New Yorker bound people in this room today? All right, they're going to New York. New York is about as a foreign of a mission trip that we could take without leaving the United States. Amen. Boy, it's different. Speak different, eat different. Ride around different, everything is different. They're going to be taking the gospel. Maybe the Lord didn't call you to go to New York this summer, but you know what? He might be calling you to support them. Amen. He might be calling you to donate a bunch of stuff for Bible school. Amen. So when they go up there, you can give a bunch of stuff to Bible school for those kids. Maybe he's called you to write prayer cards and encouragement cards to encourage those people when they go. Amen. God's preparing missionaries. Third, I want you to see this, that the sinners must hear the message of the Savior. This is so important. He gets to Cornelius' house. He gets to his home. And then he preaches about Jesus. He's real nervous, too, because he's not where a good Jew's supposed to be. He's in a Gentile's house. And he's kind of nervous. But he preaches Jesus. And he says, all the prophets testify about Jesus, that through him through his name, everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins. Notice what Peter did. He didn't just go to his house, Cornelius' house, and build him a deck. He didn't just go to Cornelius' house and put a roof on his house. He didn't just go to Cornelius' house and paint his house. He preached to Cornelius. Sometimes we confuse mission work with humanitarian efforts. Now hear me on this. Boy, missions is hard, ain't it? We'll go on a mission trip, we'll dig a ditch, we'll paint houses, we'll put stuff on roofs, but we'll never, ever, 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 ever tell people about Jesus. We'll just shut our mouths and just not ever share the gospel. Only problem is, we're sending somebody to hell underneath a dry roof. That's tough. Amen? Now, why do we do the loving acts? Are you ready? Because people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? You just go preach to them and don't show love to them, that's not effective either. If you go love them but you don't tell them about Jesus, you're not really loving them, right? So what is it? It's both and. Amen? You go, you paint their house, you build their deck in the name of Jesus. You go dig their ditch for fresh water. But then you give them the living water as well. You give them Jesus as well. It's not either or, it's both and. So understand that the message must always be preached forth. And I love this one. The sinners, or the Savior, you ready? This is so awesome. The Savior can still save sinners. Isn't that awesome today? Cornelius and his bunch are in that house. And the Bible says that while Peter was speaking these words, the Spirit came down on all those who heard. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out to who? Gentiles also. For they heard them speaking in other language and declaring the greatness of God. This is not normal when people get saved. But this was important for Peter to see this. Because Peter saw this at Pentecost amongst Jews. Now he sees it amongst Gentiles. Meaning what? That Gentiles inherit the same gift of the Holy Spirit that what? Jews do if they what? Believe in Jesus. You ready for this? It doesn't matter how far someone has gone, how lost of a cause they might be. When they hear the gospel message of Jesus, the old message that Jesus saves, you know what? There are people that can still be saved today. They can still be saved. And here's the deal. I'm praying, and I'm just going to get real. I'm praying that every time one of the evil members of ISIS beheads a Christian brother or a Christian sister, or they sell the children of Christians into sex slavery over there, I pray that for every single blood that's shed amongst those believers, that their blood will testify to those men, that their blood will speak to those men, and that the blood of the martyrs, hear me on this, will win those people to Jesus, and that they will be saved by the grace of God. That their blood will not be wasted. Their blood will not be shed in vain. That the blood of the martyrs will lead them to the blood of the Savior. Today, there is a great need all across our world for people to be saved. Great need in our country. Salt Lake City, 98% of Salt Lake City does not claim to be evangelical Christian. 98%. The majority of New Yorkers don't know Jesus. That's in our nation. Stats are showing that those that claim no religion are quickly outnumbering those that claim to be born again Christians. And we are in the minority right now in the United States for the first time in our history. For the first time in our history. Then I think about the world. All of these unreached people groups that don't know Jesus. And it gets so hard because we say, Kenny, should we focus on New York? Should we focus on Salt Lake City? Should we focus on Mozambique? Should we focus on Iraq? Should we focus? Where do we go? And I'm not trying to sound cliche. But I'm just going to say it. That's all I know how to say. You go where the Holy Spirit tells you to. You just go to the people that the Lord's laid on your heart. Amen? You just go to them. And you got to do something. Our church has to do something. I'm so proud of this congregation. You all are financially and faithfully giving And that's going to aid us and help us as we go to the next level and we find brick and mortar for us to nest in for as long as God wants us to be in. But let me tell you what I'm more proud about. That we give 10% of every dime that comes in our offering plate every week to mission work. Here in a few moments you're going to give. And 10% of whatever you give is going to leave this house of worship. And it's going to go to help missionaries. Amen. Whatever today, 10% of whatever's today is leaving Life Community to help missions. Because we believe people need Jesus. Now, here we go. Open your bulletin up. You already have, haven't you? You can't wait, can you? You've already read, haven't you? Every one of you today, you've got a card. And just look at your neighbor. They don't match, do they? Do they match? Nope. Let me show you my card, can I? These cards are from the International Mission Board, our Southern Baptist Mission Agency. We got these, and I let my Gracie have first pick. I said, Gracie, who should we start praying for as a family to come to know Jesus Christ? And she just got these on the table, and she just picked this one out. I don't know if maybe it's because of the cool dress she's wearing. Okay, I don't know. But she picked the people in Southern Asia, particularly the people that are involved in what's called Jainism, a religion that's without God. Makes no sense. A religion where you just work really, really hard and you try to get involved in karma and reincarnation. And by the way, karma is not a Christian doctrine. Karma is not of God. It is an Eastern philosophy. It's not of God. It's nowhere taught in Scripture. These poor people are trapped in that religious system, trying to work. And I see you all now. You're reading who's on your card, don't you? And you know what's funny? These are just prayer cards. We didn't assign them to anybody. We just put them in bulletins, amen? Which means what? Whoever you got today is who the Lord wanted you to have, amen? That's who the Lord wanted you to have. And today, my prayer is this, is that God would give me a heart for the nations. That's your last blank, that God would give me a heart for the nations. See, we'll never ever win people to Jesus if we don't believe people must hear the Word of God to be saved. We must care about missions. So today, here's what we're going to do. Some of you all have groups of people that have never heard the gospel. Look at your card. Anybody got a group of people that's never heard the gospel? Raise your hand if you do. Never heard? Never heard? Well, that's intense, ain't it? Today, the IMB has asked us to pray for people. And you know what we're going to do today? I'm going to pray for the South Asian people that don't know Jesus. And during our invitation time, I want to encourage you, whoever is on your card, and there may even be prayer suggestions on how to pray for them, that God would save those people, that God would send missionaries to those people. Amen? That maybe God would even send you to those people. Would you bow your head and close your eyes as our band comes? Maybe today you've never heard the good news of Jesus, that Jesus saves. Today, if you've never heard the good news of Jesus, let me tell you this. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If today you live in your sins and you don't know if heaven is home or not, and you're confused, understand the good news is for you and it can transform your life. You believe he died and rose again, and you pray a prayer of surrender that begins like this. Pray this with me if you've never prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior. Dear God, I am a sinner. Come into my life and save me. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again, and I believe you are the only way. Come into my life and save me. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, is there anybody today that would say, Kenny, I prayed to receive Jesus for the very first time in my life. With no one looking around, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just raise your hand and say, Kenny, that was me. I prayed to receive Jesus for the very first time right now. Would you raise your hand if that's you today? Who today would say, Kenny, pray for me as a Christian? Because I've been really me-centered, really self-centered. I've not really cared about other people. I've not really cared, but I'm asking for prayer today that God will help me to care for other people. Would you raise your hand and say, Kenny, help me, or pray for me that God would help me care for other people. Amen. Amen. So, Father, move today. Lord, all these unreached people groups that need Jesus, God, send missionaries to them. I pray for the Southern Asian people, those caught in this religion called Jainism, that you'll save those people. Send a missionary to work with those folks. And God, use this church. Use this church to lead people to Jesus Christ. We pray in your name. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's come pray for whoever's on your card this morning. Let's come pray for them. If you need to make a decision, give your life to Jesus, come forward now. I'll be more than happy to receive you as we sing.